taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
Hello there, everyday Americans. That's right, you've joined the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. And as I'm always telling people, we need to be engaged, we need to be involved, and we need to work locally. That's where we start. We start locally. So today, I wanted to invite a gentleman here. He's a sixth-generation farmer. Trent Luce, how are things out in the farmland?
We don't know. It snows, and then it gets up to 90 degrees, and then it rains, and then the sun shines. It's just another year, Paul.
Oh, you mean that climate change actually means the climate changes occasionally? And
yeah, I mean, it's like managing the weather. We've been doing that before I was born, since my family came here in 1832. I can't speak about anything before that.
Well, the reason I wanted to have you on is you've had me on your show a couple of times, and you told me about this road trip, this tour that you're involved with. So why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's just a little bitty road trip, 111 days, speaking in 50 states with 85 stops, nothing big or anything. In fact, there's some people that have been involved in touring with rock bands, and they say this is the craziest thing they've ever heard. So I'm not sure what we're really in for, Paul, but it is called Arise USA, the Resurrection Tour, and our plan, which I think will catch your fancy. We're going to bring back to the forefront and get people excited about constitutional counties, faith, family, and freedom. It's the vision of Robert David Steele, former Marine, actually retired CIA. He tells everybody he was a spy, which we believe to be true. And I asked him, I said, does that mean you're really just spying on us? But there's a coalition of people who have come together that really want to remind everybody what you've been talking about, which is the Constitution. And everything starts locally. We have forgotten about that. And I've made some observations because I'm the one lining up the local venues. And, Paul, I'm not going into any county without contacting the county sheriff first and making sure that they agree with us, that they are the ultimate authority, and their job in the county is to protect the citizens of the county. And it's been a very interesting ride, and we haven't even actually started yet. But another huge component of our team, which will be speaking in every one of these stops, is Sheriff Richard Mack from Arizona, who, as you know, for a long time has led their brigade trying to bring back constitutional sheriffs and peace officers associations. So we're quite excited, and it all kicks off unofficially this week on Saturday with an event in Lander County, Nevada. But then the real kickoff is Birmingham, Alabama on May 21st.
Excellent. So you're going to be out and about. And where can people go to find out more about the tour, find out what's going on? A couple of things. One is find out where you're going to be in their area. And then, you know, what can they expect if they show up?
I don't know what to expect if you show up. I've got this vision of what we're going to accomplish. We're going to have four tour buses, and then there's going to be a supply trailer. In that supply trailer, we're going to have a stage and camera and lights and a generator and be completely self-sufficient. It might end up that we're just out in a cow pasture somewhere. We're going to invite people to come for the first 90 minutes. Robert David Steele likes to tell people we're going to break this up into 90-minute segments, and that is 90 minutes starting at about 3:30 every afternoon. We're going to have local talent. We call it open mic. And so people can show up. We're encouraging people to show up and sing and just bring whatever local flavor there might be in every county that we're in. And then at 5 o'clock each day, we'll have our program, so to speak, the people that we bring along that are going to be speaking. Each one will be 5 to 15 minutes max. And then at the end of that, it'll be what I am looking forward to the most and what I think is most important, just a meet and greet and just mingle with the folks of each county. And I'm going to steal ideas, just like I did this past weekend in Tulare County, California. We had 2,400 people at the Nunes Freedom Festival, and it was absolutely amazing. It was electrifying patriotism. And it's just about being a patriot and getting back to the Constitution and understanding that the control of this country starts at the county level. And so that's kind of how the day is going to play out. The actual schedule is bigbatusa.org, bigbatusa.org. You can find the national tour schedule, the final schedule. The 4th of July is the only thing that's absolutely set on that schedule. We will be at Mount Rushmore in Rapid City, South Dakota on the 4th day of July, but you can find out wherever you're at in the country. We will stop for guaranteed at all 48 states from May 21st through August 20th, and then there is a plan at the conclusion of that to fly. We won't drive to Hawaii with the four buses, Paul, just in case you were concerned about that.
You won't?
But Hawaii is maybe an iffy one because they still have a screwy COVID policy, and so we're going to kind of have a wait-and-see attitude on that, but planning to go to Alaska for sure. So all 50 states in 111 days, bigbatusa.org. Now, I'm just going to here to tell you, you've already voiced a little bit of frustration because I've got information at my blog, loosetails.blogspot.com. I get an email newsletter that goes out every day. And there's one reason, one very important reason, that there's not just one website that's cohesive and has all of the information right there that we want. And I'm guessing you know what that reason is.
Well, I can guess. Not everybody's doing the same thing on the same page. Everybody's got their own piece to build, their own part of the puzzle.
Well, yeah, that is part of it. But the other part of it is, what happens if somebody in big tech decides that, hey, here's a place where people are getting too much information, too much going on? We're in the era of censorship. And, yeah. And so we've already experienced some of those censorship things, and we haven't started. We had, I'm not even going to name them, Paul, but we had one of the money authorization social media platforms deplatform us. We had a bank account frozen with alerted fraud security suspicions. And so we've already felt the impact of censorship and big tech. And so we have a lot of information scattered out a lot of places because we just don't want them to come in and shut the one site down with all of the information where you really build momentum, because that's what the era we're in, is that people in the high-tech world want to control the information. We're not going to let that happen.
Well, the last thing they want to hear is, by the way, yeah, we are a free people. Yes, the power starts at the county. The Constitution starts out with we the people, not we the federal government. And they don't want to hear that. They don't want people to have to be allowed to have a different point of view. I mean, I've come to the conclusion based on what I've seen is it's not a question of facts. It's not a question of data. They do not want a competing point of view. They don't want the competition. And I understand, you know, I look at, having duplicates, having multiple places to go, but you're right. You want to spread things out. Because when I got locked out of Facebook, all my contacts there in Facebook, I couldn't talk to them. To this day, I have no way of talking to them. I can't imagine with the time and money invested in a tour like this to have that all of a sudden all just kind of locked behind a door and not able to get into it.
We're looking at a $2 million expense on this 111-day project. And that's probably light. And that's quite frankly figuring that we're going to get mostly free or highly comped venues. And so that brings about another whole challenge with putting it together in the venues. But if you're listening and you find the map, you know, kind of see where we're going, you've got an idea in a great constitutional county, I'd love to hear from you on what you think that right venue may be. It might be indoors. It might be outdoors. I'm just looking for the place that best fits the mix. And quite frankly, Paul, ask me these questions in 30 days, and I'm going to have a lot more information because we'll have a couple of weeks under our belt. But we're going into some uncharted territory here and really looking forward to the outcome. I'm not opposed to just showing up in some town USA, pulling into the local park and say, hey, here we are.
Yeah, and you know, let people know and have them show up. And again, you know, freedom, liberty. You know, you're dealing with 50 states, 50 unique states, not state as we tend to think of it as simply a subdivision of a national government, but they were set up as free and independent states. So what you would expect where I am in Tennessee and like I said, Hawaii or Alaska is going to be different, and allowing that possibility, allowing them to be unique. It's an important reminder that there's a reason why New York and California have lost congressional seats. They've lost presidential electors because people are voting with their feet and saying, we don't want this. We want to go somewhere else.
And I want to share along those lines a concern that has developed. And I know you'll share this concern, Paul. And that is, in the last 60 days, I've already been out speaking to groups, and people are more vibrant than they've ever been. And I've been talking a lot about the executive order that Biden signed on January the 27th, which we refer to as 30 by 30. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken in 9 states in that 30-day, or in the last 30 days, 9 different states. And in every meeting before we get there, I call the county sheriff and we're talking. I want to visit with them and tell them what we're doing at this meeting and invite them to the meeting. And in all but 2 meetings, I've had the county sheriff actually show up at the meeting. And it's been the most rewarding thing. And I wondered why I didn't do this a long time ago. And I mentioned briefly the Nunes Freedom Festival that just took place in Tulare County. Sheriff Mike Boudreau, which is very much a Cajun name, not a California name. And we talked about that. He said, yeah, my family, they're Creoles. They come to us from New Orleans. But anyway, he is one of the best that I've met. And he just was, in fact, he led our Freedom Festival by starting us in a word of prayer. And he said, Trent, we really need to talk about this, because in the state of California, they are aggressively attempting, as we speak, to remove the elected official of the county sheriff from all 58 counties. And they want to move it to where the county sheriff is appointed by the governor. You want to talk about dangerous. That's what got us into the mess that we're in now. The county sheriff, as you just said, we the people. The county sheriff is there for the people of the county, and we don't want that to become a political appointment. I see that as one of the most dangerous things happening. So if we don't do anything else, I just want to give support to every county sheriff in this country. And I've learned through my contacts and putting this tour together, there's 2 counties in St. Louis that have already done that. And I should say in the state of Missouri, but St. Louis and St. Charles, right in the St. Louis area, that have already made that move. And I would ask you, how can they do that?
Well, it all depends actually on the state constitution and the protections that the state constitution places. But it also depends on the actions of the people. You made a very important point. It's not enough to have a constitutional sheriff. You must have people that are willing to support them. When I talk about when I met with my sheriff, the deal was, you protect my rights, I'll stand with you and help you as you do it. I hadn't heard that California's trying to get rid of the elected sheriff, which to me it makes sense based on what I've seen. Right, the last thing that Gavin Newsom wants is someone telling him he can't do something or reminding him of the law. So if you have sheriffs that say, sorry, Mr. Governor, you can't do that, and we won't let you do that in our county, he's going to want to get rid of them. And the easiest way is to make them dependent on the governor's offices. Kind of like our founding fathers were complaining how judges were dependent on the king, so they couldn't get just trials. I wonder where it's almost like we're repeating.
Got over that.
Yeah, it's like we're repeating history or something.
Yeah. I think that's why we learn it, so that we know how to do it again.
Well, Santayana said, those who refuse to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And I've been doing several articles and stories about how we are repeating history. And this is another example. So I love it. You're looking for constitutional sheriffs, and you're looking for people that not only want to learn about the Constitution, not only learn about rights, but they're willing to stand up and support that sheriff to stand with him or her, especially when people come after their power. Because, I'm trying to remember who it was. said, why would I trade, you know, one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away? Well,
right.
I can deal with the tyrant that's 1 mile away. I have a hard time dealing with the tyrant that's 3,000 miles away. And we have the same thing where everything's, you know, you not only do you have in California, they're trying to centralize power in Sacramento, but this entire country is trying to centralize power in Washington, D.C. And, you know, the evidence is there with the federal government taking over things they are barred from. They are prohibited from. And we just let it happen over and over and over again. And then we wonder why, you know, Washington, D.C. is surrounded by the richest counties in the country, because that's where all the money is spent, because that's where they get all their power.
I think you could also give me a quote about somebody who said, if you do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result, you might be insane.
Yeah, that was Albert Einstein said that. He said one definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. And, you know, you're right. I mean, we're repeating the same things, but there's I was given an interesting fact, and I haven't been able to find pure evidence. So take this with a grain of salt. But as I understand it, in 1776 and during the Revolutionary War, roughly one third of the colonists supported independence. One third wanted to remain British subjects, and one third, well, they really didn't care one way or the other as long as they could go about their business. But what's interesting to me is only 3% of the colonists actually fought for independence. So we look at these big, huge problems and we say, how can we eat that elephant? And the answer I always come up with is one bite at a time. We don't have to fix the whole country. We start by fixing our counties and our neighborhoods, and that will fix a lot of the problems when there are those locally who are willing to stand up to those centrally who want to take power from us.
Actually, the guy who brought you and I together, Marty Beard, my mm-hmm. friend from Bismarck, mm-hmm. actually had this, we had this conversation last week, and he said, you know how many people I hear say that you have to take my rights away from me over my dead body? And when it comes right down to it, how many people are just complying and going along with the loss of liberty at this point? I mean, it's time to take a stand. And that is the very reason I feel that the time is essential right now to get people engaged. And everybody wants to stay too focused on what's happening in Washington, D.C. And as you have been teaching for as long as I've known you, which is coming on a year, is you have to get control of what's going on in your county. And there's 3,006 counties in the United States. And I had this conversation with my governor, Pete Ricketts, the governor of Nebraska, last week. And he said, Trent, this idea is exactly the answer, because if you get the majority, just think about, Paul, if you get two-thirds of those 3,006 counties to stand up and tell the federal government, no, we're done taking marching orders from you. We're driving the ship. How powerful that would actually be.
Yeah, absolutely. And even from the standpoint of, you know, you look at California, and I pick on California for a reason. By the way, actually, let me pick on New York, because I used to live in New York. And the vast majority, if you look at a map of New York, the vast majority of it is what we would call it fairly conservative. It's rural, it's farmland, it believes in, you know, leave me alone. But you have New York City and Albany that dictate to the state how it will live, because slightly more than half of the people live in those cities. Well, what happens when not only a majority of the counties in a state like New York or California not only are willing to stand up to the federal government, they're willing to stand up to their state houses as well and say, no, we did not authorize you to do this. We did not authorize you to tell us we have to wear masks. We did not authorize you to tell us what is and is not essential. We did not authorize you to try and force us or bribe us or otherwise cajole us into taking an experimental vaccine, because you promise that we'll get back to normal if you do, even though as soon as we start doing it, you say, no, we can't. It takes people. I like to say it's actually more important that I protect other people's rights than I protect my own. Because as Benjamin Franklin said when they signed the Declaration of Independence, we must all hang together or we will all assuredly hang separately. We must work together recognizing there's going to be differences. I'm not going to agree with you on everything. You're not going to agree with me on everything. The fact that we allow that is what makes us stronger, not weaker.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Absolutely. Just couldn't echo that louder.
So again, everybody should head over to bigbatusa.org. You can sign up for some updates. You can find the tour schedule. You can read information coming from, you can find Trent Luce's site up there, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association up there. You can find a lot of stuff there. And obviously, apparently, you can donate there, right?
That's correct. Yeah, $2 million. And we've been at the hands of some tremendous generosity already. I have not talked to Robert about this for the last couple of days, but I think we're close to half of that already in terms of donations. And quite frankly, Robert is posting pictures of envelopes and checks coming in because the old fashioned send it through the mail is what's turning out to be the most secure, because we see these money taking social media platforms that are part of the censorship and big tech. So just mail your check if you'd like to be a part of it.
Excellent. It's interesting because I was talking to you about something else when you alerted me to this. You let me know about this, and I'm very interested. I can't wait till you guys come to Tennessee. I know you're going to Memphis in not too long a time.
Two weeks.
You're gonna be in Memphis, Tennessee. You're also coming to Middle Tennessee a little later in the year. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to meeting you face to face and actually shaking your hand and doing so without a mask on, like real men.
That's long overdue.
But I'm also looking forward to hearing not only the stories and the news and what's coming out of them, but I want to hear what the people of my county are saying. What, I've talked to my sheriff. I've talked to some of the local business owners and some of the people I deal with. I'm really looking forward to seeing people saying, this is, we're not a terrible country. We're not a racist country. We're the worst country except for everybody else. What can we do to remain, the land of the free and the home of the brave? And it means we're going to have to fight not only for our freedom, we're going to have to stand up for our freedom, but for the freedom of others. And we're going to have to be brave enough to actually do it and not sit behind a keyboard and wail and moan and then buckle the first time, someone with a badge shows up and says, no, you must do this because we say so.
This country was founded because there were ordinary people willing to do extraordinary things. And it appears as though that cycle has come back. And so all we are going to do, as ordinary as I am, I just want all the ordinary folks like myself to stand up and do extraordinary things. And collectively, we make all of the difference in the world.
Exactly. It's, we often rail about collectivism from the standpoint of making everybody the same. And that to me has always been the difference. Collectivism has been, we have to be bricks in a wall. We have to all be exactly the same, say the same things, think the same things, look the same way, act the same way, when what we really need to be are individuals, unique people willing to help each other out, willing to look at the person who is different from you and recognize that still a human being and they have rights. And and I need to protect those rights, because if I don't protect their rights, there'll be no one left to protect my rights when they come after me.
Thank you, Martin Niemöller.
Yes. Yeah, that's Martin Niemöller wrote that. It's a wonderful poem from World War II. You stand back and let them peel off the rights of everybody else. Sooner or later, there's no one left to stand for you.
Yeah.
So, well, we're coming up towards the break. Trent, thank you very much. Again, head to bigbatusa.org, and you can find Trent and more of his stuff on, loosetails.com?
Let's go to loosetails.blogspot.com.
Loosetails.blogspot.com.
And you can get there either place. Just quickly, Paul, I know we're out of time, but July 17th, we will be in St. Louis. We've got a big weekend planned there. And then headed for, it says Nashville on the schedule, but you and I are going to come up with a plan to be in the outskirts. We're, obviously, we're not planning to go to any inner cities, but you will keep your listeners abreast of where we'll be, and you'll be a part of setting that together on July 18th, 2021.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. Please, again, find out more. Be involved. Take some time and do more than just, you know, talk about it or write about it or listen about it. Take some time and meet your neighbors that are also looking to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. Trent, thank you very much. And we'll keep in touch, and I'll keep my listeners informed and hang out. And we will be back right after this short break.
Thank you, Paul.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
It was a vision that gave birth to a unique multimedia platform that would combine classic talk radio, great writers, and memorable podcasts and videos. AmericaOutloud.com is a conservative leader in a field that is predominantly run by far-left progressive globalists. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. That's right. This is the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I hope you enjoyed the first half of the show talking with Trent Luce. Hope you'll check out Big Bat USA, find out more. And if they're coming to an area near you, please make a point, reach out, join it, come with friends, find out more, find your neighbors that are interested. Let's remember that this is a union of sovereign states, and that we can do our best work when we work local. Now, with that in mind, let's take a look at a couple of stories that have been going on lately. I found this one. I've heard this in several different locations. I've heard several different people talking to it. It's the whole issue of employment. Now, apparently, the so-called experts. Yes, so-called, because they're wrong so often, but they expected 1 million new jobs in the last month, and they got 266,000. And they're shocked to find out that people aren't getting jobs. Now, what could be causing this? Well, sure, there's blame on, you know, the schools are closed, so there's no daycare, so they can't, you know, people can't go to work because they don't have a place to put their kids. Hang on a second. Isn't it the government that's closing down the schools? Isn't it Fauci that's talking about keeping schools, you know, masked up, closed down, partially used? That's not it. No. What else could it be? So now, I have a friend. My wife and I have a friend. She manages a business not far from here, and she has had 14 employees leave in the last month. 14. This is not a huge business. We're not talking a Walmart. This is a small business in Middle Tennessee, and she's had 14 employees leave. Why? Because they could make better money sitting on their tails getting checks from the government. Now, I hear a lot of people looking at this and saying, yeah, it's a disincentive. If you're going to pay people not to work, it's a disincentive to work. So to see the jobs numbers should be a surprise to no one with a brain. If we continue to pay people not to work, they're not going to work. And actually, some of them, they'll probably work under the table. They'll commit fraud to, they'll find ways to make money that the government doesn't see, because that's just human nature. But there's a bigger issue in hand here. I should say more national issue at hand here. What we have is, and we have this all the time, you have the government screws things up. They make a mess. They then promise they're going to fix it, and their fix makes the mess worse. So they want you to give them money to fix it again. You know, I believe it was Albert Einstein that said, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome, is a definition of insanity. Well, then we live in an insane country. Remember, it wasn't COVID that shut businesses down. It was government. It was state governments. It was city governments. And to some extent, they were prodded on by the federal government. So they shut these things down, meaning people could not work. Not decided they maybe wouldn't work, not took a look at the pros and cons and their individual risks and situations. Nope, the government said, you shall not work. So what do they do? Well, they decided, we'll pay you not to work. Oh, the economy is so bad, people can't pay their bills because the government shut them down. So the government says, we'll pay you because we shut you down. And of course, then you had those in the federal government, including Senor Trump, who allocated trillions of dollars, of which a fraction, a small fraction, went to bribe the American people to not rise up and revolt because their jobs were taken away from them by the government. Oh, technically, they still had the jobs, but they couldn't work because the government said, no, you can't work. Bad, bad citizen. You're not allowed to work. And now when they say, okay, we need to get the jobs numbers back up, and they're surprised that people don't work. I mean, I don't even believe this would be a comedy sketch, because nobody would believe this. If you were to make this into a movie, nobody could suspend their disbelief to the point of thinking that, A, those in government are dumb enough to believe that if you pay people not to work, they're going to go to work anyway. They'll give up the free money to go work for it. Or B, that the American people are foolish enough to look at this and not say, what is wrong with you, government? Why are we paying people not to work and then, ta-da, surprise, they don't work? And the reason is very simple. Now, I don't know if this is consciously the reason. I don't know if people are back in their cloakrooms rubbing their hands, but it's very simple. You see, government wants to be in control, or more accurately, those who tend to run for government offices, they want to be in control. The first stage of control was to tell you you could not work. We are going to take away your job. Oh, we're supposedly doing it for a good reason. See, COVID, it's really bad. It's really nasty. It's really dangerous. Of course, it only kills less than 2% of the people that actually get infected by it. For most people, they have maybe a bad cold or a flu, but some of them don't even feel symptoms. But yep, no, we're going to shut everything down because of that. We're going to tell you you're unimportant. Or as they say, essential. You're not essential. So the people can't work, they can't pay their bills, so the government says, oh, well, here, we'll give you some money. You know, come to think of it, I did see this in a movie once. Although it wasn't working, it was the business owner, where someone said, oh, well, we're going to burn your place down. And then when you can't make any money, we'll give you a little bit of cash. as long as you do what we tell you. I think they called it making an offer you couldn't refuse. That's right, folks. The federal government and many of our state governments are acting more like the mafia than public servants. And then we turn around and find out people don't want to go to work when they're getting paid to sit at home. Or more likely what they're doing is, again, there are many of them that are probably picking up side jobs and off-the-books jobs and side hustles to supplement their income. But why would they go to a 9-to-5 job? Why would they go out and work and you know, have to work hard if the government will pay them to sit on their backsides? See, then they're not servants anymore. They're subjects. They are bought and paid for with your tax dollars. How does that make you feel? What do you think about the abysmal job numbers when you realize that you have let your representatives bribe the American people into not working? See, as much as we like to point at the state houses and at Washington, D.C., they all work for us. They are our employees. So what they do by our authority and in our name. So you want to know who to blame for all this mess? Look in the mirror. If you want to know what's going on, where are these crazy people getting these goofy ideas? We hired them. Maybe not personally, but collectively, we hired them. They are our fault. And as if the let's make it rain with cash is not good enough for unemployment, guess what else is going on? The U.S. Treasury Department says it's allocated $21.6 billion to pay people's rent. Yeah, I told you that. They've set aside $21.6 billion to pay your rent. Why? Well, we had this other brilliant government idea. See, the CDC says, hey, we know, we'll just tell people they don't have to pay their rent and they can't be evicted. Now, let's forget the fact that, not only does the federal government have not have the authority to interfere with the property of your contract, your lease, the CDC has no authority within the federal government to do that. In other words, it's not the CDC's job to make policy and law like that. Their job is to advise people on medical conditions, diseases, and they're doing a bad enough job at that. But the courts have turned around and said, no, you know what, CDC? We just looked it up. You don't have the authority to do that. So lo and behold, what happens? Well, we have the Treasury Department. Now, the Treasury Department's job is to spend the money appropriated by Congress on the things Congress has appropriated for. But yet it allocated $21.6 billion. Unelected bureaucrats have taken your tax money and they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to help out the renter. Why? Because these people figured that, you know what? If you let people not pay rent and not get evicted, the landlords have no money to pay their taxes. So now what they're going to do is they're going to pay the rent, or at least help pay the rent, for the American people. So we went from destroying the economy. First, it was how do we make a mess out of the job market that we destroyed when we shut everything down? Now it's going to be how do we make a mess out of the rental market when we destroyed everything because we wouldn't let people, we actually didn't require people to pay the rent. I mean, is the government being run by buffoons? Is this an episode of the Three Stooges? Are they just going to start slapping each other around? Because this has got to be some of the dumbest stuff I've heard in years. But doesn't surprise me because they pay absolutely no price. Tell me, who in the Treasury Department is being fired for misappropriation of funds? I told you, misappropriation of funds. Unless Congress appropriated funds to pay people's rent, which they have no legal authority to do, But unless they appropriated it, what the Treasury Department is doing is fraud. It's embezzlement. That's right. It's not fraud. It's embezzlement. They're taking money that the American people have told them to spend on item A, and they're spending it on item B because they think they know better than you do. Our governments are out of control, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, American government is at almost all levels is out of control. And we hired them. You didn't hire the people in the Treasury Department, but you hired the people that represent you that populated the people in the Treasury Department. So tell me, who in the U.S. Treasury Department is being charged with misappropriation of funds? My guess? Absolutely no one. Because why in heaven's name would we expect our servants in government to actually listen to their masters, the people, when we've never made them listen before? I talk about why it's so important to get to have liberty at your county and city level, because nonsense like this is not going to stop. Even if the American people, with one voice today, said, enough, the Constitution matters. It will take decades to undo the mess that is Washington, D.C., the cesspool of corruption that is Washington, D.C. But we start not by fixing Washington, but by fixing our counties. To get them to stand up to this nonsense and say, no, you, the people did not give you the legal authority to do this. So we won't let you. We will stand up and say, no. I found this article in the Daily Caller. President Joe Biden is exempting some of his top officials from ethics rules. Why? Well, it might restrict their work with labor unions. Oh, wait a second. I see what's going on. So if you were a high-level muckety-muck in a labor union, and you got yourself a posh job with the president, the conflict of interest would be an ethics violation. So rather than dealing with the actual problem, the ethics of having people that used to work for labor unions now being involved in the administration, probably dealing with the same labor unions they used to work for, No, we'll just sweep the whole thing under the rug. We don't, there is two Americas. There's the America where you can get away with absolutely anything, where you can incite riot and not be even admonished, where you can simply say, the ethics rules, we're just going to ignore them. We just wipe them away because, well, they're on our side. And they're waiving the rules. Did they pass a law? Did the Congress pass a law that said we're going to exempt them? No. The White House did it. The White House simply said, we'll just forget those ethics. We'll take the law, we'll wad it up, and we'll use it to wipe our backside because that's all they care about as far as the law or the Constitution. Dear God in heaven, how do you not, you talk about high crimes and misdemeanors. How about shielding from prosecution those who are violating the laws of the United States? Is that not a crime? That's what he's doing. The Biden White House is shielding members of his administration from lawful prosecution. He is denying the American people a redress of grievance against ethics violations because he likes them? Because what? I can't think of many reasons why. In fact, I find this rather interesting. Because if you look at the Declaration of Independence and you look at the 27 grievances, you find that several of them, in this case, deals with judges. And one of them is, quote, he has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices, the amount and payment of their salaries. Well, excuse me, hasn't President Biden just made, I guess, Celeste Drake and others that are part of this dependent on him for their office? Not on the American people, not on the laws, not on the rules. No, 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 no. Simply on him. With the stroke of a pen, he can shield them from the law. Does that sound like a free and fair government to you? Is this really much different than protecting them by mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states? Okay, we're not talking murders. But the reason that language is in there is because many of the military were shielded from the consequences of their actions by mock trial. We're not even going to get to the trial phase. We're going to let the president simply make up new laws he feels like it. Is this King Biden? Did we elect a king last November? Was the January 20th, was that not an inauguration? Was that a coronation? And the American people sit back and let it happen. Tell me, where are the state attorney generals prosecuting them, saying, we don't care about their ethics violations. We have laws and we have a constitution. Where is that happening? We're the representatives of the people in the House and the representatives of the states in the Senate standing up and going, no, no, no. We established those ethics rules for a reason. Do you know why nothing's happening? In my opinion, because we have given up caring about this country. All we care about is political party. You see, it's a Democrat president doing this. And you have a Democratic-led House and a Democratic-led Senate, and they are patting each other on the back with all the stuff they're getting away with. And the American people are just sitting back and letting it happen. Oh, we may whine and complain. We may jump on our keyboards and write an article or make a comment on Facebook, but we're doing nothing to fix this. Do you want more? Well, here's an interesting item I picked up. This actually comes from the American Thinker. After the jobs report, guess what President Biden decided to do? Well, it was announced from his administration that they're going to waive patents on the COVID vaccines. Well, yeah, you know, Paul, COVID, it's important and we should share the wealth, except, well, there's a couple interesting things here. First of all, nothing in Article 2 of the Constitution grants the president the authority to steal from the American companies and American people and the people that own them. That's right. I said steal. Article 1, Clause 8, Article 1, Section 8, Clause, I believe it's 8, says that Congress has the power to promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right of their respective writings and discoveries. We call those patents and copyrights. Yet Congress isn't doing this. Oh, no, no. Emperor Biden, King Biden the First, is simply going to ignore the law because, well, you know, they ignore the law every day anyway. And he's going to wave away. He is going to steal from the companies that created these vaccines. Companies that have invested millions and millions, probably $1 billion or more, to develop these vaccines. They did so when at the urging of the American government. They did so with the American government pulling who knows how much red tape out of the way so they could develop these vaccines. But these companies invested millions and millions and millions of dollars in it. And now President Biden says, oh, guess what? They can take all they want. Where the heck does he get the authority to waive COVID vaccine patents? The answer is nowhere. High crime and misdemeanor? How about theft? This, you know, we talk about China and the theft of intellectual property. This is a theft of intellectual property by the American government, a member of the American government. The President of the United States, through his administration, is stealing intellectual property from American companies and the people that own them. And it's a commentary in a news outlet. Is this in the mainstream news? Where are the articles of impeachment? Because last I knew, it was a crime to steal, to take without cause from someone else. To steal their patents. Where are the articles of impeachment? Nowhere. Why? Because you have a Democratic president and a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate, and we have a government that is no longer a government of the people. It's an oligarchy of thieves. And for the what appears to be few people, honest people, still in government, I ask you, where is your call? Where is your ire? Where is your demand that the government follow the laws we created for them? You can do all the huffing and puffing you want. I want to see articles of impeachment. Because this man has committed crimes. He has committed theft. He has committed theft in the name of the American people. He is shielding ethics violators from consequences. He is stealing money from the American taxpayer to pay rent. And he's stealing money from the American taxpayer to pay unemployment, to make people slaves of the federal government. Where? They were ready to impeach Trump over saying that people should peaceably demonstrate. Here we have evidence of crimes, and no one seems to care, because the American people don't seem to care. And then I came across this little gem. See, President Biden plans to join an international agreement to, quote, stop violent extremism online. Now, trust me, I'm not interested in violent extremism. I'm sure you're not interested in violent. We would like to see violent extremism dealt with. But you see, again, we have this little thing called the Constitution. In Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2, says he, meaning the president, shall have power by and with the advice and consent of the Senate to make treaties, provided 2/3 of the senators present concur. Call it whatever you want. This is a treaty. It's an agreement between nations. Now, whether you think it's a good treaty or a bad treaty, where is the advice of the Senate? I'm waiting. Does anybody realize that if he can't join, the President Biden cannot join an international agreement on his own? It is illegal. It is null. It is void. It is an action outside of the Constitution of the United States. Article 6, Clause 2 says the Constitution and laws of the United States shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States. Well, Mr. President, you have no authority to sign and to join an agreement on your own. You must get the advice and consent of the Senate. And any state or any legislator or any public official that would follow this agreement that was not approved was not consented to by two-thirds of the senators present in the United Senate of the United States, is also committing a crime. Because that is not the supreme law of the land, the treaty that's made not pursuant to the Constitution. It is not a power delegated to the United States. It is not under their authority. Tell me, when will we have had enough? I don't expect politicians to fix this. Politicians are the reason we're in this mess. Politicians that are more devoted to their party than there are to their pledge, to their oath. It's the American people that need to stand up and say, enough is enough. We consented to your powers and only those powers. And if you refuse to follow our consent, we will remove you. We have the legal and moral authority to alter or abolish this government. The Declaration of Independence says, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object, evidence are designed to reduce them under absolute despotism. That's what we have. We have a long train of abuses and usurpations of power that continually make the people subject to despotism of the government. The Declaration says it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. I pray we wake up and alter this government before we are required to abolish it. Before our only chance left is to throw off a tyrannical government because we wouldn't deal with the problems when they were small. Do me a favor. Head over to America Out Loud. Check out our audio. You can listen live. You can listen on iHeartRadio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can find our apps on Apple and Android and Alexa. You can learn. You can see what's going on. You can learn what's important and you can participate. But you have to get off your tail and do it. And hopefully, part of what you'll do is to join me right here next time on the Constitution Study.